Parents, you love them, you hate them, but whether you like it or not, they made you who you are. And soon it will be your turn to be the parent. How will you handle those sticky situations? How many lines will you draw for your children not to cross? How much will the memories of your childhood affect the way you raise your children? Stay with us for the whole program as we talk to two middle-aged women and their children about the way they pushed or pushed the boundaries with their parents, and the way they do or plan to push their kids. This is a LiveWire production with Claire Elliott, Child to Adult, Stories of Parenting. This is Claire, and with me here today is Christine Poggi from the University of Pennsylvania. Could you tell us about the type of family you grew up with?
Well, I grew up in a very traditional Italian family. Family was very important, and both of my parents were very devoted, and there were five kids, and we were brought up as Catholics, and we were pretty much supposed to do what, you know, the tradition said.
I remember one time when I was a senior in high school, having a discussion with one of the nuns who was one of our teachers, and we were talking about how you knew what to do in terms of what is right and wrong. And she said, you just have to do everything that it says in the Bible. And I said, well, how do you know that the Bible was always right? How do you know that? And she was really shocked because she thought that was just a given.
Discussions were starting to pop up in our classes, which was really a surprise to me because they had been very conservative, although I probably didn't know it in grammar school. But in high school, things started to open up. You know, it felt like things were really changing.
And what about your parents?
They were more traditional, but they were also being affected by all of these changes. So at least theoretically, they were in favor of gay rights. Later, when one of my sisters declared that she was a lesbian, they were absolutely shocked. They thought it would never, quote-unquote, happen in their own family, and they were crying and carrying on and being very, extremely upset. Prior to that time, they had said that they were totally pro-gay rights, and so I was kind of shocked to see the kind of contradiction, but I suppose it was not so surprising. But then later, within a year or two, they came around and they really embraced her and her partners. Confirmation in the Catholic religion is supposed to be a moment where you actively and consciously embrace the church and say, yes, I confirm that I really am Catholic, because you're old enough to do so, they think, at that time. So they thought they should make it more meaningful. And all of the students had to meet with the priest and tell the priest that they firmly wanted to become confirmed, that this was not just an automatic sacrament that they would go through in some kind of, you know, process that was automatic, but they would actively choose it. And my sister was the only one in her class of 50 who decided she didn't want to be confirmed. And so she really revealed that this whole idea of free choice was a charade, because she got up to the priest, and they had to go up one after the other and say, yes, I want to do this. And she got up there when it was her turn and said, no, I don't. I don't want to be confirmed. And they were shocked. They were absolutely shocked and appalled, and they did everything they could to change her mind. And my parents, who are very Catholic and very, I guess I would have thought, you know, rule-abiding Catholics, actually were sort of tickled by this and kind of amused and flattered that their daughter had a bit of spunk in her. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. All through grammar school and high school, and then the idea was we would even go to Catholic college. And I was a good student, and I had pretty good grades, and some of my friends were going to very good colleges, or they were at least applying to them, and I thought I would do the same thing. And at that time, the University of California had a new campus, University of California, Santa Cruz, and it was kind of a romantic campus. It was brand new. It was about 2 or 3 years old. There was a 3 or 4 page spread in Life magazine on this new campus, with beautiful pictures of the beach and students studying in small groups, talking on the rocks with the waves crashing around them. And they talked about the fact that there were no grades and it was all just self-motivated. And, you know, there were all these great adventures that students there were allowed to do. And I was really captivated by this, so I wanted to go to this school, and it was hard to get in. And my parents didn't want me to go there because it seemed too liberal, maybe a little flaky, no grades. It wasn't at all what they had in mind, and also I'd have to move out of the house. They thought I would live at home. And so I applied in the end to only two colleges, to UC Santa Cruz, where I really wanted to go, and to the University of San Francisco, which is a Jesuit college where my father had gone and where he expected me to go in his footsteps. And to my surprise, I got into both places. And then we had a very big fight over where I would go and whether I would be allowed to go to UC Santa Cruz. And I finally decided that if they wouldn't let me go, I would not go to college at all, and I would drop out, work for a couple of years until I had enough money, and then I would go once I was financially independent. And finally, after a very unpleasant evening with a lot of crying, they finally relented and let me go. So that was the first time that I really felt like I had asserted myself in a very strong way. So I guess
I'll remain the same. Do you think that being at the brunt of your siblings gave you a different look on the way you would handle things in the future?
Well, when I think about my own children, for example, I wouldn't tell them what I thought they should do. I wouldn't say you have to go to law school. My parents didn't quite do that. They just wanted me to do something practical. But I think that I wouldn't even go that far. I would say, in college, do your best. Try to find out what you're interested in. Maybe that sounds very privileged, but I think in the long run, you have to decide if your goals are to make money or to do something interesting or to help people, or, you know, you have to balance all of your different interests. And I wouldn't put pressure on my children to do one thing or the other. I would try to help them to figure out what they want to do. I think that has to be a choice that they work out themselves, and I would just give them the freedom to do that.
For those of you who just tuned in, that was Christine Poggi, professor of art history at UPenn, telling us a little bit about her childhood and the boundaries that she and her siblings pushed with their parents. Her new book, Inventing Futurism, just came out and was dedicated to her three kids. With me now is one of her children, Sophie Elliott. Sophie is a sophomore at Masterman High School in Philadelphia and is here to tell us a little bit about her childhood. Tell me, Sophie, do you think that your parents are strict?
No, I don't. I think that my parents do set boundaries for me, and there are certain things that I'm not allowed to do that I feel like I should be able to do, such as go out late or hang out with my friends all the time. But I respect that they're trying to give me a better future by making me come home and do my homework or things like that. But at the same time, who doesn't want their total freedom?
What kinds of things do you have to do at home?
Well, every weekend I have to do a chore before I can do anything else. I understand it because the house would be a total disaster, which I wouldn't like either. But having to complete the chore is definitely a nuisance because it's always the same chore and it just gets boring. I would rather change it up.
Do you think that when you're an adult, you won't make your kids do chores because of the way you feel about them now?
I'm gonna have a nanny.
What?
I'm gonna have a nanny, Claire. Yes.
So your kids aren't gonna have to do any chores?
I mean, they'll probably have to help her.
Do you think that your parents put pressures on you in terms of like school or like careers? Do you think they're trying to influence you anyway?
They tell me over and over how they think I'd be a great pediatrician, but I don't want to be a doctor because, well, blood scares me.
Okay. Do you think that they'd be upset with you if you didn't go to pediatrician school?
No. Children will learn respect on their own terms. They will decide what is appropriate, and that's the best way to have someone learn, when they see it on the outside society and they aren't pushed into it. To me, respect is all about you deciding what boundaries it is okay for you to cross. That's how you go into the world. You learn through experience.
Do you think that just by society's pressures, they will be able to learn the things that you would deem necessary? You think that they'll, like, their friends' parents will tell them to say please, or that they'll just pick it up off the street?
Absolutely not. I will teach them by example. I will not say please. I will say please and watch them catch on. That's the most beautiful thing, watching a child adapt to their parents' movements to their bands below. You see, it's all about the... anyway, not what I was going there with. Their parent is... You're not taking this seriously. The most important thing a child can tell their parent is, do they want the rubber ducky in the bath? It's a metaphor for, are they afloat?
Though Sophie's answers were not the most serious, we did touch on some very deep subjects. Sophie does not think that her parents are the most strict. She does think sometimes that she gets more liberties, but all in all, she is quite happy with her family. I've got a sweeter song than the birds in the trees. Here with me now is Martha Farah, professor of neuroscience at the University of Pennsylvania. She grew up as an only child in Manhattan, New York, with her parents, and is now a single mother of her teenage daughter, Theodora Farah, who we will hear from shortly.
My two parents were fairly different people, different kinds of people, which probably in part explains why they got divorced. My father was kind of a free spirit, very creative, artistic. He was a writer, didn't do a great job following rules and such, so he actually, he may or may not have graduated from high school. I never quite got a straight answer on that. Did not go to college. And I think in the end was somewhat frustrated with the way his life panned out. My mother, on the other hand, was pretty, you know, pretty much a rule follower. And she was originally wanted to be an actress, then ended up being a secretary sort of in the show business world. She was also a hostess on a game show, sort of like a Vanna White type person. And then she became a school librarian, and then she became a social worker, and then she became a psychotherapist, and then she died. But basically she liked trying different things and was willing to put in the effort it takes to get the courage. Yeah,
and there ain't nothing I can do about it.
I was a pretty goody-goody kid and did not really cross boundaries or require much in the way of discipline. I mean, I have to say, my daughter is pretty easygoing and pretty kind of pleasant and cooperative, you know, by temperament. So, like me, she doesn't really require a lot of discipline or a lot of limit setting. The ways my upbringing from my parents affects the way I raise my daughter has to do with the fact that my parents, you know, were pretty extremely hands-off in the sense that they didn't really keep track of how I was doing at school, what I was eating, where I was going. Mom would give me a couple of bucks and I'd go buy myself some dinner, which often was a pint of ice cream. And so, you know, I have, I think, kind of in reaction to that, tried to make sure that, you know, most nights she eats a, you know, a real meal. I try to be a little more involved. You know, they would often say things, you know, usually in a kind of matter-of-fact way about how, you know, about my intelligence or my looks or whatever. And, you know, in fact, I have a wonderful daughter, so there really isn't anything to criticize, but I am aware of positive versus negative balance in what I say to her.
My mom was really easygoing, I think, and I really appreciate that. I'm definitely going to try to be the same way with my kids. My mom can be a little anxious, though, and it can seem a little overbearing, and I'm gonna, you know, try not to do that.
After talking with these parents and children, I interviewed some local high schoolers. Their opinions ranged from,
they just want me to, like, go to school and then just go home and not have any contact with my other friends.
All the way to,
my parents are pretty chill. They really don't care. They don't really give me that many rules.
But the view most expressed was that while they didn't agree 100% with their parents and the rules imposed on them, they understood the reasons why. and all agreed that
my parents' parenting style affects mine.
This has been Child to Adult: Stories of Parenting with Claire Elliott.